for students today. Back to school is both a time of learning and at times fear. Lockdowns, active shooter drills, armed guards, security systems at schools, often part of the educational process now. The shift really started after the Columbine High School shooting in 1999. Since then, there have been more than 230 school shootings, according to data from the Washington Post. That doesn't include shootings at colleges or universities. While the safety of students and staff is a priority for administrators and parents, our next guest says the way we've tried to tackle the issue may not actually work. David Perodin is a school safety expert. His new book is School of Errors, Rethinking School Safety in America. He's with me in the studio now. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, thank you so much for having me on Central Time.
Well, some of the most prominent things we see in schools and hear about from our own kids, are these code red drills, the drills where sometimes more and more realistically schools try to reenact an active shooter situation. You say they're really not helping much. Why is that?
Well, they're not. There isn't research to support that hyper-realistic drills does anything more than bring trauma to staff and then also to students. And if we just step back a moment, that's not the way that we do fire drills. No one would think it would make sense to put smoke into hallways and debris and heat lamps to simulate a fire. We don't do tornado drills with a barn fan at the end of a hallway and somebody chucking rubber pellets into it so students and staff can experience what it's like to be in a tornado. Right? That doesn't make sense. But somehow we make this exception when it comes to intruder drills and active shooter drills, and that's just not the way to learn.
And we'll get into what you would like to see in a bit, but I want to talk about some of the things you see as maybe wastes of our time and money. You say you write in your book, there's a growing school security industry that's selling schools various systems, more and more advanced cameras, for example. Talk about what you're seeing out there on the market.
Absolutely. So school safety has become a $3 billion annual industry, and most of those dollars go toward devices. Such as fences, you mentioned it, cameras, bollards, those stumpy things you plant into sidewalks in front of schools. And we haven't seen a decrease in the frequency of school shootings and just violence in general across the country. So that's not working. Take a step back from that. Why do we allow those things to happen? And one is we don't have regulations. I can think of something and in 60 days I can have it out on the market and be selling it to schools. Nobody is required to license school safety products. So it opens the market up to anybody, and actually anybody can claim the title of school safety expert. You don't need a license, you don't need a degree, certification, anything. So you have a lot of people coming into this market and making it very confusing for school districts to make smart choices.
And at the core of things, we all want to do something, it seems like. And it sounds like these companies and experts are selling us the feeling that we're doing something, even if there's not data to back up its effectiveness.
Absolutely. It's called customer perceived value. It's a big part of marketing. If you believe that whatever you purchase will make your school safer, you have to do it, right? There's no price you can put on the life of a student. But ultimately, we're just putting money toward things which are not making us safer. And if we look at the legislative side, since 2013, we average 400 bills nationwide from the states to promote school safety. About 80 of those become enacted. In 2019, we are on pace for a record-setting 500 bills for school safety proposed and more than 100 enacted, and we are not becoming safer.
And I talked to a criminologist actually just a week or two ago about shootings in general. And one point she made that you, I think, kind of echo in the book is that, okay, with school shooting, it's often a current or former student who's the perpetrator. They're sitting through the same drills all the other students are. They see the same security systems. They're basically being educated in the school's reaction if someone perpetrates a shooting.
Yeah. So that is a completely accurate reality that the students are aware of how the safety procedures function in the school. And in 75% of the instances of a school shooting, other students knew, and they did not bring that information forward to an adult. In 1997, in Bethel, Alaska, more than 20 students arrived on a mezzanine to observe the school shooting, which happened that day. Some of those students even helped the shooter understand how to use a shotgun. But so why do we have these barriers? Why aren't we having students come forward and share this information with adults? That's a big part of the book.
Talking to David Perodin, author of the new book, School of Errors, Rethinking School Safety in America. So those are the problems you see. you think that we need a different kind of mindset, not a rote drill. Here's specifically how we're going to react based on the last shooting. What is the mindset you want to see?
Yeah, my mindset is about teaching situational awareness or environmental awareness. This goes all the way back to 1908 when Sir Baden-Powell of the Scouts wrote his book, Scouting Games, and in that stressed environmental awareness. Here's what that would look like in a school. Take students around the campus for 15 minutes, and beforehand, you've set up a few things. You have a unicorn on a flagpole, the scent of oranges poured onto a sidewalk, and the song Jingle Bells playing by a piece of playground equipment. So you do this. You walk around, and you come back in the classroom and say, what did you notice? And Rob, most students will say, I didn't notice anything. Like, you know, it was too warm. I just wanted to get back inside. Well, no. You walk through again, and you point out all of these things. And remember, I'm addressing different senses. And then students are like, yeah, I noticed this, I noticed this. Once you do that a few times, and this is research proven, once you do that a few times, the students will identify things that you didn't even know were happening. You know, the transformer on the power pole two blocks away, I don't think it's functioning right. I could hear it humming. Wow. But we don't do that. And that's free, right? A vendor's not going to tell you about that because a vendor can't sell that to you. They want to sell you systems. They want to replace what you have. The other part, we just talked about it. 75% of the time, somebody else knew that the school shooting or school violence event was going to happen. We need to spend money on the youth code of silence, figuring out why kids aren't bringing this money forward. $3 billion a year on school safety, virtually nothing for prevention, nothing in research. And you know what? It's what people want to see. That's what school safety is about. Parents want to see fences. They want to see the yellow bollards in front of schools. They want to see the surveillance cameras. They really don't care that much about the PA system, even though in new schools, there's many areas where a PA system is not heard.
Right. And cheap investments like better walkie-talkies for staff and making sure that there's no dead zones for that. Very cheap compared to some of these other things you're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Two-way radio communications. And yet I'll go into schools, I'll be a consultant, and I'll ask, tell me about your two-way radio communications. And I get blank stares. Often they haven't assessed those, or they'll say, you know what? The principals tell us, hey, it's not working that great.
Let's talk about that awareness. So you talk about how to train people in awareness. You spend a lot of time in your book comparing part of the response to 9/11, this largely improvised effort that got literally hundreds of thousands of people out of harm's way. How can we train ourselves in a school or wherever to, in a chaotic situation, figure out what to do?
Yeah, well, one of the ways not to train yourself is to have many rote steps. So we see flip charts of saying, here's what to do at step one, here's what to do at step 15. What we learned on 9/11 at the Harbor Rescue, 500,000 people in 9 hours, is that systems will develop. So you need to train people to be flexible and to work within the systems that develop. And if you tell people ahead of time that systems will develop, there'll be a perimeter that will be set around the school. We don't know what that perimeter distance will be. It will develop. People handle that really well. So part of it is telling people in advance systems will develop. And the other part is just taking, again, kids through these activities such as, you know, around the school and throwing some different things in there that they're not used to that they have to identify. It also puts the cell phone down. We get the screen lock. Take that away.
And you also talk about the importance of taking teachers and staff. If you always teach in the west wing of the school, making sure you know the rest of the school, the layout there, so it's not foreign territory if you need to evacuate, say, in that direction.
Completely. And I worked at the Wisconsin School for the Blind. They had a fire during lunch because students had practiced their drills and exiting the building. Some of them were in hallways, some of them were in the lunchroom, and they successfully navigated outside of the building and to a safe area. So You have to do these things when you're not expecting it. When do you do your safety drill? You do it 6th hour after the 20 minutes into the class, because that's when we do our safety drills. No, you do them when you arrive at school. You do them during lunch. You do them when people are exiting school.
And very briefly in our last few moments, it's harder to sell this that you don't get a big tangible thing to show people and point at, like, this is our security.
Absolutely. But, you know, school administrators and board members from all over Wisconsin, all over the country have been contacting me, and they've said, this is allowing us to have the in-road discussion to school safety. And I believe that's what I've accomplished with School of Air's Rethinking School Safety in America, is to give people a way to discuss things beyond fortification.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
David Perodin is a school safety expert. His new book is School of Errors, Rethinking School Safety in America. He joins us today to talk about how we could approach school safety in a new way, an old way, too, in some ways.